City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
City Queercast show number 200, the big 200. We don't look a day over 150, do we? I'm Amy Matheny, and I am so glad to be celebrating this 200th show with one of our new co-hosts who will be joining us once a month, Deb Pierce from Toronto. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Oh, hey, Amy. I'm really good. I'm a little bit tired. I've had a really good weekend, but I'm really happy to be here. Happy 200th birthday.
Thank you.
What is that? That's not paper. That's not aluminum. 200. What is that? Cryogenics? What is that 200?
I don't know. Who knows if anyone's ever made it to 200 by except television shows, and they just get really big cakes, don't they?
Yes. Well, nobody... I'm giving you a virtual big old gay cupcake right now.
I would love that. In the shape of my breasts.
Oh, my God. Both of them. That's a lot of cupcake.
Possibly with either a red rose or pink little blossom on the top.
God, maybe burlesque pasties.
Ooh, and some sparkles.
Yes.
Maybe with a sparkler in the center.
And I'll have the fire extinguisher standing by. That's so great. 200 shows. That's amazing. How does that feel for you?
You know, it feels like time flies when you're having fun, honestly. I mean, you've done quite a number of shows. You're probably way past 200. I just want to let all of you know that Deb Pierce is the lesbian DJ on Proud FM in Toronto, Canada. And she is now our, what are you calling yourself for us?
I have to tell you, I am Toronto's official queer respondent, and your official left-hand woman, left-right-hand woman, Toronto's eyes and ears, so that I can share with you and all of your listeners what's happening, what's queer, what's fantastic up here in Toronto, and what's going on in my world, which is inevitably very exciting. I guess that's the word I'll use for now with what's been going on for me.
Good.
Yes.
So we're going to kind of get a total America viewpoint with adding Deb to the show.
That's right.
The Americas. And also you should know that Deb is really just me with shorter hair.
With shorter hair, although that was my hair growing up until 19 years of age. Very formative time for lesbians to go through their, like, first for me anyway. Maybe that's just a Toronto thing. Maybe it's just a me thing, but let's just use a sweeping, like a big broom and sweepingly generalize it. When I had my first heartbreak, boom, off went the hair. It was down the middle of my back, same style, same color as yours. Then it went to a bob. Then my first breakup, it was shaved into the standard lesbian shave. That's a true story.
That's true. I want to see the girl that broke your heart that bad. Maybe you should send me a picture so we can post it.
All right. But you know what? I'm a lesbian, so of course we're friends now.
Yes, of course you are.
Yeah.
What kind of lesbian am I that I am not friends with any of my exes?
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, literally, you know, like, what? I didn't get the memo.
I have restraining orders or, you know, when I come to town from towns I've left that all my friends have to alert my ex that I'm coming. Oh, no, I create devastation like Katrina and and bad storms.
So safe to say, because I want this friendship to be everlasting, you and I will obviously, and also that we're both very happily married, we're never going to date. Who do you date that happens?
We're never going to sleep together. We're definitely never going to do that.
Okay.
It's hard to do it virtually anyhow. I don't even know if that's really sleeping together. So
no, I don't think so. Webcams can only go so far.
This is true. Do you consider yourself a butch?
I'm a bit of a saggy kind of butch. I kind of have, if I have male tendencies, whatever they are, they tend to be more sort of gay male.
Yeah.
When it comes to like my hair, I'm really, really a bit of a perfectionist with my hair,
yeah.
Which it's always sort of been a thing for me.
Yeah.
And I think my style of dress tends to be more gay male. Yeah.
So
right now I'm actually wearing a hoodie that has a Bush Patrol on the side of it, because it's like it's camouflage, so it's sort of like a hunting jacket, even though I'm an animal rights activist, vegetarian. It says Bush Patrol. I wore it to talk to you because you're in the States.
And you sympathize for
that's
us
right.
greatly.
And then, of course, the lesbian double entendre.
Yes, well, that we're both good for the double entendre, knocking,
yes.
volleying back and forth across Canadian and American lines.
I am so happy to be here on your 200th show. What an honor. Thank you very much. This is so exciting. Do you have moments? See, you and I are the same person, so I kind of want to turn it on you. Do you have a moment that has stood out for you in the last 200 shows?
Oh, gosh. I probably have a lot of moments. I think, let's see. Well, actually, our guest that we're having on today, Ms. Cleo, for our 200th
yes.
show, because she's going to tell the babies how we're all going to go the next few months. When Miss Cleo was first on, we had so much feedback about her show, just even people that I would bump into, dispelling the myth of who she was and really giving her a venue to talk. And she's become a great friend. So I remember that show quite well. And I also remember our very first show, when we said all of the cuss words I'd never been able to say in broadcast radio, which
That's
right. I would love to give you the opportunity if you'd just like to throw one out right now, Deb Pierce, since you don't get to do that.
One? I want to do them all.
Okay, go.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Shit, piss, fuck, cut, and cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
Ooh, do it again.
Shit, piss, fuck, cut, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. I kind of made that into a song, that one.
I actually think maybe we should do a promo with you doing that. That would be great.
This
is Deb Pierce. We'll do that later. That's the magic of podcasting. They won't have to listen to us hammer that one out. But so that was very memorable.
Yeah.
Peter and
I
did it.
Yeah, you've had a lot of good shows.
Peter, thank you very much. Peter and I did the words, you know, like cocksucker. We did them like each one of us doing.
Oh, my God, like the electric company
like
growing up.
The electric company. Yeah. And then I also really remember turning the tables. I interviewed Peter for one whole podcast, and he interviewed me. All the questions, we didn't know anything the other was going to ask the other, and it was all focused on, we called them our intimate portraits, kind of like
beautiful.
Lifetime television, which I should probably do with all of our new guests, our new co-hosts. That would actually be a good idea. Wait, let me write that down. Finger to tongue. All right, write that down. Got it.
Good. Great idea.
So, yeah, I mean, but there's just been so, so many. And also the Queercast coming to Toronto, which is how we met.
Absolutely.
Do you remember us meeting?
I will not forget. When I was at work. Do you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, tell the story. I won't know it from your perception.
Okay. I was at work. I do middays 10 to 3 at the radio station. And my sales manager, John Kenyon, came in the door with a group of people from all over the world, right? You were with a
yeah.
group of ambassadors, people from all over the world. I turned around and...
We were all queer, but yes, we were from all like news media people, Spain and Mexico and California, New York, Atlanta.
I had no idea if there was another female in the group, but you particularly stood out. I don't really remember anyone else except for a sweet, short little Spanish man. A cute, very gay boy, which turned out to be Peter, and you, stunning eyes, right there, just gorgeous eyes. I turned around. I don't know what song I was coming out of. I don't know what song I was going into, but I was instantly like, wow, this is, she's hot.
And gay. That's so sweet.
And gay. Did I know you were, I guess I knew you were gay.
I don't know if you knew I was gay.
I don't think I knew you were gay. I don't know if I knew you were gay, but nevertheless, I think within probably a minute of opening our mouths, we both realized we were both queer, and then dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, because you don't meet a lot of women. You don't meet a lot of queer women, especially out queer women, and this is not the time for me to out the other people that choose not to be in the industry.
Jodie Foster.
What's that?
Jodie Foster. She's already come out. Come on out, Anderson Cooper. Come on.
No kidding.
It's beautiful.
I know he should, because he's so great, and he's so smart, and he's so successful. And why would, yeah, he's already established. He can't go anywhere.
Can't go anywhere.
They're not going to take him off the air.
No.
What are they going to have?
He's a Vanderbilt, for God's sakes. He's not going anywhere.
No. Funny. Anyway, so when I met you, I just thought that's amazing. And then you and I quickly realized we have fairly, like, almost exactly the same energies, personalities, interests, and history, of course, in radio. And instantly, we got along like a house on fire.
We did. You know, we actually interviewed you. So if people want to go back and listen to that podcast, I'll try to link that in our show notes. So you'll be able to hear. Well, you were on, and we had RuPaul on, I think, while we were up there. So it was big, big fun. But you were hosting Hallow Week. So
Yes. After
Peter and I met you, we said, we'll connect with you tonight when you're on this stage. And you looked nothing like yourself.
Oh, my God, I didn't. When I met you, I was hungover from the night before. I had some sort of show hosting maybe the Scandals Burlesque show or something. I don't really remember, but I was hungover, and I thought, God, I wish I was more on my game. But anyway, we walked down Church Street together, and you guys went to your hotel to chill out or go shopping, as you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You almost used a Sherpa. You did so much shopping in Toronto.
We did.
And then the next time you saw me, I had been airbrushed very effectively to look exactly like a skeleton. Terrifying.
It was terrifying. It was thrilling.
People wouldn't talk to me. People see my voice. They hear this voice. I'm like, hey, Lori. And people look in my general direction, but obviously the voice isn't coming from the person that they thought it was. So they look to my left and to my right thinking, where's Deb? And it was me. It was incredible. Hosting that event was amazing. It was the first one on Church Street Hallow Week this year. There's always a big party, but this was like the first organized stage with a costume contest and huge shows, and then you guys having a VIP section, and then, of course, the winner of Gay Idol.
Yeah.
Singing.
Dan, the man.
That's right. He was also dressed up kind of Grim Reaper-ish.
He was. I think you both scared people. Next year, you need to come as one of the Asian people along the streets of Toronto, dressed in, like, Queen Elizabeth or with lots of bling or something.
Asian people.
Yeah, because there's so many Asians on the street in Toronto on Hallow Week.
I know. You know what? They come in from different areas because they really, really like, our parades and stuff. And you know what I call them? Because I don't see them as a lot of them being queer identified, because they come, their husband and wife and kids.
Oh, yeah.
I call them Strasians.
Strasians?
Yep.
They're such Strasians. And they're everywhere. It's really a very fun street festival. And I remember walking up. What do you call your police people? Mounties? Bounties? What are they called?
Oh, no. Mounties. They're just cops here. Well, of course, there are Mounties in Canada. I've never seen one, but yeah, they're Mounties. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the RCMP.
Oh. So these were just cops.
But those are just cops. Those are just street cops or auxiliary police, yeah.
Okay, well.
Or who knows, knowing Church Street, they could just be leather daddies in uniform.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. They're right in front of Woody's Bar on Church Street. So for those guys of you who watch Queer as Folk, or girls that watch Queer as Folk, you know Woody's.
Yeah.
And right in front of there, we're walking down this street, and I see five cops, three of whom are very cute, and guys, and then a really big guy, and then this woman. And I didn't know if they were in costume or if they were actually cops, so I actually walked over and asked them, just to clarify, because I couldn't stand that I didn't know.
And were they?
They were really cops, and I took my picture with them.
I think it's illegal to impersonate a police officer, like, really down to the uniform with the swatch, like, with the patch.
Yeah.
I think that's illegal.
The patch makes it real.
That's right. Ooh. Unless you look up and it says, you know, the Fudge Packer Mounted, I don't
Brigade.
Know. Yeah. Mantle Riding Policeman, something. Something that's a little lost in the translation doesn't seem as official.
Yeah, it's totally
Yeah, what
true.
A great night, though. What a great night. And as soon as the show was done, I think it had to be done for, like, legalities, right? I think everything had to be shut down as far as noise by 11 p.m., and the skies opened right up.
Yeah, it started and pouring down rain, and you and I went to a bar.
Yeah, you and I retired. I kept sort of losing myself in the fact that I was covered in, like, 14 pounds of airbrushed paint. So I'm having these, you know, you and I got to know each other pretty well, pretty fast. There was just a lot of things that the conversation really flowed. And then you went to the washroom at one point and I looked around, I thought, I'm looking at everybody in costume. You, of course, looking stunning in your costume. We've got to put pictures up for people to see what we're talking about.
We'll put some pictures up.
For sure. Cause you looked ridiculously hot.
And
I kept catching myself thinking, God, am I ever glad I'm not trying to come on to her? Because this is not hot. This look is not, hey, could you imagine, hey there.
Hey there, this is Skeletor.
I'm looking like I've been dead for 300 years.
Well, I don't think I looked very hot. I was just sparkly. That's what I thought.
Yeah, you do. And it's funny that you have, like, this beautiful blonde hair, but you chose to wear, like, this, you know, blunted bob wig to go with your costume.
It was fun. You want to wear a wig. I like a wig.
A wig's good.
That's the drag queen in my inner lesbian, as opposed to your, what does your shirt say, Bush Camp hoodie?
Bush Patrol.
Bush Patrol. There you go, Bush Patrol. Hey, in our next show, we're going to continue talking with Deb. I want to talk about health insurance in Canada with you. I want to talk about what you do for the springtime. There's so much stuff to talk about with you. Our next show is going to be all Deb Pierce, all the time, unplugged, uncensored. Unclothed. I think you should take your Bush Patrol hoodie off to have the next conversation.
Okay, I'll get my butt plug and take my Bush Patrol off. And happy 200th show!
Thank you.
My God.
And you flattered enough now for at least the next quarter of about me.
Can I sing a little happy birthday to you?
I would love it. Go, go, go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Windy City Queer Cast. Happy birthday to you.
And we're going to be back with Miss Cleo after this.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
After receiving criticism that he has avoided the gay press, Barack Obama finally gave an interview to The Advocate at his Chicago campaign headquarters. He discussed issues such as his wish to eradicate the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and said that he's not avoiding gay publications but has tried to discuss GLBT issues to a more general audience. Obama has not given any interviews to the gay press since he spoke with Windy City Times during his run for the U.S. Senate. Candidate Hillary Clinton has conducted several interviews with the gay press.
Anti-gay group, the Christian Civic League, hopes to undo all gay rights in Maine by trying to get a referendum on the ballot that would prevent GLBT people from marrying, entering civil unions, and adopting children. It also strikes down any and all anti-discrimination laws that currently protect GLBT people in the state. Maine Secretary of State must approve the petition before the group can start gathering signatures. The state's GLBT group, Equality Maine, isn't too concerned about the group's attempt, calling the broad referendum request ridiculous.
In Nigeria, two women were sentenced to 6 months in prison and 20 lashes for being in a lesbian relationship. The Shahara court ruled that their relationship violated the rules of Islam. Both women claim they are married to one another. Homosexuality is banned in Nigeria's penal code, as well as Muslim law.
The San Francisco-based gay media company Planet Out, Inc., publishers of The Advocate and Out magazines, sold its magazine and book publishing business to an affiliate of Here Networks for $6 million in cash. The deal should be closed by April 31st. The media empire had been struggling, but when news of the sell hit, the company's shares rose. Planet Out's execs say they want to focus more on the company's websites, gay.com and planetout.com.
An April 5th episode of MSNBC show Tim Russert, Christopher Hutchins used the word lesbian as an insult. While openly gay blogger Andrew Sullivan and Hutchins debated about comments made by presidential candidate Barack Obama's former pastor Jeremiah Wright, Sullivan lost his train of thought. Sullivan said, "And now you've made me forget my second part." Hutchins quipped, "Oh well, don't be such a lesbian. Get on with it."
I would never tell you not to be such a lesbian.
Thank you.
I love the lesbian that you are. Bisexual MySpace queen Tila Tequila is getting her second shot at love. MTV begins airing A Shot at Love 2 with Tila Tequila on April 22nd. Yet again, 30 men and women will battle for the bisexual's love and affection, including Chicago lesbian Tashi, who claims she is Tila's number one fan.
I'm glad she has one. And Spanish singer Julio Iglesias recently told Los Angeles concert goers, "If I was gay, I would be the best gay in all history." Probably said that with a Spanish accent, of which I am no good at. Iglesias, who is straight, is the most successful Latin singer to date. Both of Iglesias' sons, Julio Jose and Enrique, have followed in their father's footsteps and have large gay followings. Wonder why.
Well, I'm one of those large gays following him. Celebrity blogger Perez Hilton is off to Washington, D.C. Hilton has accepted Bloomberg Network's invitation to the White House Correspondents' Dinner on April 26th. Perhaps the openly gay gossip queen will make some waves at the annual event. And that is your Windy City Queercast News.
Pretty women, fascinating, sipping coffee.
Sweeney Todd kills London's unsuspecting upper crust. Mrs. Lovett bakes them in a pie crust. Together, they'll stop at nothing for revenge or for love. See this diabolical duo as never before in this hair-raising, fiendishly delightful new production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, an event the Wall Street Journal says theatergoers will be talking about for years to come.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Judy Kaye and David Hess star in the Tony Award-winning Sweeney Todd, the show Rolling Stone calls the greatest musical of the 20th century.
What happened then? Well, that's the play, and he wouldn't want us to give it away.
Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd. Justice will be served.
Coming April 23rd through May 4th to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hi, this is Di Lish, production editor for the Windy City Queercast. Cleaning up after the talent is not as easy as some may think. Amy and her posse make it sound easy, but let's just say it's up to you-know-who to make it that way. It can definitely be very amusing. Here are a few of my favorite fuck-ups. Enjoy!
And this is your Windy City...
Oh, sorry.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Don't touch me. Grammy win.
Farrell has appeared in movies such as Phone Booth and At the Home.
A Colorado lesbian couple arrested in two...
Have fun, Di.
Mommy!
The Williams Institute at UCLA Law School announced that a $5.5 million... The Williams Institute at USC...
Seen with her everywhere while her husband Blake Filder...
I think so.
Is that right? Filder?
Yeah. You can just say Blake Filder. She'll edit that in.
Blake Filder, civil. What?
This is his hyphenated name.
Is that his name? Blake Filder, civil?
Yes.
That's the stupidest name on the planet. Tell him to change it.
All right.
A California teacher who claims he was forced to quit after committing... it's that kind of day.
A Colorado lesbian couple arrested 2000... I'm going to kick my own ass.
A lesbian and gay hotel brand was launched called...
A legislator's attempt to ban discussion of homosexuality in Tennessee schools died in a House... What?
Bad boy actor Colin Farrell is playing...
A new gay travel social network...
Yeah, how's it feel?
Reports recently surfaced that the 24-year-old crooner worked as a stripper for a Phoenix club frequented mostly...
The Williams Institute at UCLA Law School announced that a five point no. The Williams Institute at UCLA.
I'm sorry.
Kick my ass.
I know.
Republican Oklahoma State Senator
The New York City mother was sentenced to 15 years to life for the murder of her 23-month-old son. Holy shit.
And it's only coming to... start again.
The way... It...
It's not that funny! You need to let me do it as Hepburn. It'll be easier.
Family drama unspools over an unusual lunch date.
The new comedy will focus on the friendship of two men, one gay and one straight. Nella, come here.
In 2006, voters approved of a ballot measure that amended the state constitution... Oh, I'm going to kill myself.
The Williams Institute at UCLA Law School announced...
Shit, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm done. Okay, okay.
Frequented... I'm going to start the whole thing again.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Die, we're coming back.
Is this still recording? Hello, Amy Matheny. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Matheny.
Archbishop.
It was like three words in one.
That was like 20 words in one. She loves it. I think she's going to keep all these snorts and things at some point. Laughs.
That'll make
weird
a
things
show.
That I say. That's a whole show. Our blooper reel.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Every year you make staggering advances in technology, like air, more air, slightly less air, and a separate air chamber for maximum air.
She's gonna blow!
Good ball handling skills, sound fundamentals, a killer outside shot. All completely useless unless we're wearing your sneakers.
I got a 2-inch vertical.
They're designed to last for a decade, which is just about the time we'll have them paid off.
I'm living in my van.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Sultan of the sneaker. We may never make a layup, but your shoes will always be a slam dunk.
Mr. Basketball Shoe Designer.
Bud Light beer at Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Buying or selling a home? John Sanfilippo can help. John knows Chicago. John knows our community. John knows real estate. Dedicated to his clients and proud to be with At Properties, let John help you buy or sell today. Visit nexthomehere.com or call him at 773-895-1467. That's 773-895-1467.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 14th, 2008, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
Vitalist Theater, in association with Premier Theater and Performance, presents A Passage to India, now playing through May 18th at the Theater Building, Chicago. When a naive English woman in colonial India befriends a Muslim doctor, destructive forces are unleashed in Ian Forster's saga of imperialism, passion, and prejudice. Visit vitalisttheater.org for more, or call 773-327-5252.
See what the Chicago Sun-Times calls some of the most dazzling action you will ever see anywhere. A steady rain at the Royal George Theater. A must-see, smash-hit cop drama. A sizzler, says the Tribune, and one of the top 10 productions of 2007 by the Tribune, Daily Herald, and UR. A steady rain. Save $10 on tickets. Enter code STEADY into the promotions box on Ticketmaster.com.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit LookingGlassTheater.org or call 312-337-0665.
Newt Rockne, All-American, is a vibrant and inspiring world premiere musical celebrating the life of the man who created American college football, playing now through May 11th.
Tickets are going fast. Call now, 219-836-3255, or visit theateratthecenter.com for this world premiere musical, Newt Rockne All-American. Only at the Theater at the Center. Professional theater close to home.
Gay playwright Joel Drake Johnson is back on stage at Victory Gardens with his latest dark comedy, Four Places. The critics are raving. The Tribune says this fine drama feels fully formed and ready to take its place as a significant new Chicago play. One of those splendid experiences. The acting is superb. Running now through May 4th, only at Victory Gardens by Graph. Call 773-871-3000 and mention discount code ELLEN for $10 off or visit victorygardens.org.
Laughter is truly the best medicine when Julian moves in with his ex-wife and her new husband to recuperate from an illness in a world premiere of Better Late. This new comedy from the writer of MASH and creator of ABC's Dirty Sexy Money plays at Northlight Theater through May 11th with an all-star cast, including John Mahoney and Mike Nussbaum. To purchase tickets for Better Late, visit northlight.org.
And Helena Handbag Productions proudly presents the Chicago premiere of the camptacular Die, Mommy, Die, a tale of glamour, murder, and the importance of family by Charles Bush. Opening April 21st at the Bailiwick Theater, 1229 West Belmont. Remember, 4 out of 5 drag queens prefer Helena Handbag for all their camp needs, so call Bailiwick, 773-831-1090 for tickets or go to handbagproductions.org for more.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Two, one, two, three.
Well, it is our 200th show, and in thinking on the past 200 shows, one of our favorite guests immediately popped to mind as to who should share this landmark moment with me, and immediately sent out the good energy through the internet to Ms. Cleo, who emailed me back and said, "Precious, of course I would love to be on with you." And so here she is, Ms. Cleo, to celebrate 200 with us. How are you?
I am fine. Congratulations, Mommy. Congratulations. I am so proud of you all, and you have earned it, and what a celebration it should be.
And we don't look a day over 150, do we?
No, absolutely. We look good.
So you were on with us in December, and now we're heading into the summer. And at that time, you said we were going to have a tough winter. And lady, were you right? This has been the never-ending winter for those of us in the Midwest. So that prediction already came true. And also, we talked about the election and the change that we were going to see. That thing is still to be played out. So let's start there, because I think a lot of my questions about where we are as a people, whether we're gay or straight or allied or what we are, have a lot to do with the core issues we're seeing in the election. So where is this election right now, and are you sensing anything new?
You know, it's pretty much playing out the way, I mean, you know, you see there's always the caveat, and there's always the one piece of the puzzle that you don't see. But for the most part, it's playing out. Giuliani stepping out, I think we'll all find that after he's done that he's ill again. That just didn't make a lot of sense. You know, so we have McCain and we have Hillary and we have Barack. If they don't implode each other, then it should be an interesting. it's become, as we get with all of these elections, we get this nastiness and we get this crazy undercurrent, you know. And like I said, people are sticking their feet in their mouth faster than, you know, people going through a turnstile.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. You know, the one issue that we did also cover was the economy. And
yes.
That while the war is still very much a high priority issue, you know, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I have talked to as many people, if not more, who have been laid off. Their jobs have just been eliminated. Companies had to scale back. And it's becoming very frightening.
Yeah, and you did say that the economy was going to be very critical and scary.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, with this election now, they have to, at one point, you know, at the onset of it, it was all about, you know, privacy issues and security and the war. And now there's a whole new monkey wrench thrown into this dynamic that will make the American people at large say, look, this is in my backyard right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're spending money on this action in Iraq, but, you know, people are genuinely hurting, you know, and the politicians such that they are going to have to address this.
What do you think are the big challenges? Let's take them one by one. What are the big challenges right now for Barack?
Well, Barack still has to come out from under the recent implosion with the minister or the pastor of his former church or the former pastor.
Jeremiah Wright.
Yes, those were some pretty incendiary comments that this individual made at a place that, you know, is supposed to be a place of peace, a place of God, you know. And so people that may have been on the fence are a little bit concerned.
Yeah.
You know, yes, he's all for change, but this is some radical, almost Farrakhan sounding like dynamics. And people are concerned. So, you know, where he got so much of the white vote in Iowa and Wisconsin and places that I was absolutely floored. But I think you have a lot of youth. You have a lot of young people between the ages of 18 and 30 coming out and saying, we don't like what we've seen before. I think Barack's, the outspokenness of his wife, I think, is probably going to be an issue for him. Well, I appreciate and respect wherever she's coming from. She's very outspoken, so she may be an issue. I also believe as we get down to the nitty-gritty here that who he chooses for a vice president is also going to be a challenge for him.
Yeah.
That's a little bit, you know, closer out there, but I think that's going to be a very tenuous situation.
Do you think Hillary is out of it? What do you think are her big challenges coming
into
these last
states?
I
know Hillary's numbers.
You do? What does that mean?
Well, I've done Hillary's numerology based on the Egyptian method, and Hillary is never to be underestimated or counted out. Let me tell you something, and I'll leave it at that. She is not. She is a most formidable individual. And anybody who would like to presume or assume that she is just out there because she is, you know, former President Bill Clinton's wife is going to be so sadly and sorely disappointed because she is so much more than that.
Yeah.
As a politician, as an individual, as a scholar, as a legal eagle, I'll just say it in these words, Hillary ain't no joke.
Yeah.
So I would encounter her out, and there's still too much teetering. You know, I still think for the most part, without me going into what I perceive personally, and that people are really going to have to make their choice known.
So speaking of that, you call Florida home, and there has been much discussion as to whether or not Florida votes will be counted. What is just the temperature that you feel in the state of Florida, and especially from the gay community?
We're actually kind of laughing at ourselves, which is sad, because for the last couple of elections, I mean, Florida's been right there in the controversy.
Yeah.
You know, this was something I think a little people here, or at least the climate I get from people here, is that they're tired already. They just want things to be resolved. And the fact that their votes may not get counted, I think a lot of people are just kind of disappointed because right now, again, their attention is going to something else. And that's a sad state of affairs, but when people are overwhelmed, that's where you can only process so much information. The gay community, you know, is waging a different kind of battle right now because of, as far as the state constitution being amended to involve this anti-gay marriage amendment.
Yeah.
And so the GLBT community statewide is working tirelessly to inform people about what is going on, because the language of it is so convoluted and contrived, people can easily be swept into voting yes on it, and they need to vote no. So that's the climate here right now. That's really the climate here. I think, you know, we're a very southern state, most southern part of the country. And so once you get a little bit past Orlando, I think Obama will certainly lose support. And it's typically a Republican state.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think that McCain has a really strong relationship with the Cuban community here. So, I mean, you know, all things considered, I would assess that it's probably going to be a Republican vote anyway. It's a red state, and I don't see it changing color anytime.
Yeah. So do you talk about this, Florida's tired, and we started off talking about the economy. Is there a feeling right now of that the pocketbook is being hurt so much? It's so close to home right now, the fiscal, that's with an F, fiscal fear is so monumental. Are we in a state of paralysis? Because shouldn't this be the time that people are standing up and activating and being outraged? What is it about us that we aren't outraged by certain things as a nation?
I think paralysis is a perfect description. I think people are stunned. They're in shock. Up until, you know, the third quarter of last year, the economy was still growing. That's what they kept reporting. And so people now are blinded, you know, only six short months later. And now nobody wants to call it, but we are in a recession.
Yes, we are.
When Bear Stearns, who set the bar for Wall Street, gets traded at $2 a share, that's a frightening dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are just good working people, and they don't understand the stock market, and they don't understand how the Nikkei ties into this, that, or the other, because they're trying to raise their family, you know, put food on the table and pay their bills.
Right.
You know, and you know, a $300, a $600 check coming that you have to pay taxes on next year is not going to do anything.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's not going to repair anything. And I think what it is, what you're seeing, I think as we get closer to the middle of the year,
mm-hmm.
You're going to see, as I had said before, there's going to be civil unrest in little pockets. And people are going to have to figure out whether they're going to assemble peacefully or they're going to assemble in a place where they're much more angry and maybe lose the plot, because I mean, I think you can go throughout the country right now and petty crime, stupid crime has got to be up 50%.
Yeah.
You know, I this is a horrible story, but I'll just share it with you all there. They're actually stealing the brass and bronze vases out of cemeteries right now here in South Florida so that they can melt down the bronze or the copper.
Wow.
Now, they caught a guy the other day in a cemetery pretending like he was praying, and when they got him, when they caught him as he was driving away, he had 100 of those vases in his van.
Yeah, this is like when we used to dig up people and pull the gold out of their teeth.
Thank you. You know, it must be getting mighty tough out there.
Yeah. Well, it obviously, you know, you said in December that we all needed to just kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Our phrase was don't be salmon. Don't be trying to fight the tide. So you're saying something is going to start happening in the middle of this year where people are going to be, they can't go with the flow anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they're going to have to voice out if it's going to change. You know, people are still, we're still putting gas in our cars, aren't we? Every last one of us. I don't see a call to ride more bikes, although I do see more people trying, but those are usually the people that are the green people. You know, and I'm trying to be a green person myself. But, I mean, we're talking about people actually literally being able to afford to go back and forth to work.
Right.
You know, so if you can't get to work, you can't make money to pay your bills, to take care of your family, but so you've got to get to work. You know, and I would love to see a call to action nationwide where, you know, for a day we don't do something, where we say, okay, look, we are tired as a people, and we demand that this be corrected, and how did we get here?
Yeah.
And maybe the how do we get here is a secondary question, because right now the dam is leaking.
Yeah.
You know, and there's an opportunity, there's a window here for people to do this in a reasonable manner. You know what I'm saying? And right now I just fear that, you know, desperation is going to overcome sanity.
Let's move to the GLBT community. I mean, mm-hmm. since we spoke, we've had a couple of, and we're going to talk about this, then we're going to kind of get into some positive light at the end of
right.
our conversation.
At our funnel, right?
But it's a celebration, 200 years, our lives are in the crapper. But we had great tragedy since we spoke with you last, and also some national attention with the murder of Lawrence King, the 15-year-old gay boy, and also in your home state, I believe, Simi Wilkins.
Yes.
The teen that I don't know if he would be considered a trans teen, but was in an
his
area dressing.
His devastated, bless her
right.
heart. Right.
And I'm just wondering, are we going to see more of this, or do you feel that having more of a national spotlight and having people like Ellen DeGeneres speak out about this, Oprah now continuing to be brave enough to have trans stories on her national spotlight and try to educate between sexual orientation and gender identity,
right.
That we're moving toward a moment of enlightenment?
I certainly think that it's a mixed bag, and that's what I'll say to you. I think that people sometimes, when they get despondent, they try and blame anything that might be the cause for it.
Yeah.
And so you get people lashing out at anyone, and sometimes people will lash out with those that they perceive to be weaker than them. And many of my friends in the transsexual and the transgender community, they are visibly concerned. I know I am, just as a lesbian, you know, the increase of the violence. And for people who think that it's not, you know, it happens every once in a while these days, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, there's a think about the stories that aren't being reported.
Sure.
You know, because we had a terrible, we had some losses here along with Sydney and a few other people in the local Broward County area. And it's very disturbing. And, you know, I pray that people like Ellen and Oprah and other voices out there do make every effort to educate. I think that there's an opportunity there, but I certainly think that myself and my family members of the GLBT community, we do have to be cautious, because it always doesn't have to be that violent or that extreme, you know, ending in death. I wouldn't kiss my girlfriend the other day. I said, nope, I don't want to do this in the parking lot. So I don't want to come home and see our cars keep.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's intimidation. That's disturbing enough, you know. And so I even find myself, who's a very, you know, bodacious and out there kind of individual, saying, maybe we need to think better of this, you know.
Right.
And again, I don't think that we should be limited as a community, but, you know, again, you don't walk through the middle of downtown at 2:00 in the morning with cash hanging out of your pocket either, because you will surely be robbed. So, you know, one has to take some personal responsibility in the way that we move.
Well, let's talk a little bit about anything that you're seeing that might be fun in the world of entertainment. Any new summer stories that you are foreseeing?
You know what? I'm hoping in the world of entertainment and the rich and famous, I am so looking forward to the announcement of the senior prince and his girlfriend getting engaged. I am so looking forward to that, because that's coming. I know that's in the royals, and that's across the pond.
Prince William, you mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. And sweet Prince Harry, he got home okay, you know, despite what was going on. I do. I think that there are some, you know, there are some delicious things happening behind the scenes with a number of the new shows that are out. I don't know that there's anything that's going to be heart-wrenching or you know, bone popping right now. You heard that Jodie finally came out, Jodie Foster.
Well, so did she or didn't she? You know,
She did. She came out. I guess it was about a month ago.
Right, when she thanked her girlfriend at this award ceremony, but then now she's still refusing to answer any personal questions. Well, I think it's the best she can do at this point, and that's something.
Well, you know, I'm torn. You know, because everybody, when you're already in the public eye, people forget that you're human.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly, if that's as far as she goes, I'm really okay with that because she doesn't have to talk about her personal life. You know, as soon as you open up the door in this world, look at my poor friend Rosie. I adore her, but because she took that risk, and she continues to take the risk, and she continues to voice out, they continue to lambaste this poor woman. You know, and I'm not saying that she's the smoothest drink to go down, but, you know, I'm not. I know some people just think she's a little bit brash. But, you know, she takes the risk. She stands up. And when you stand up, you know, some people do it with a little more diplomacy. And some, I think there's room for everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For those who are diplomats, let them handle it that way. For those of us who like to chain ourselves to buildings, that would include me, and, you know, walk with a picket sign, then let us do our thing as well. Because I think it's all very necessary. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I think Cher is going to possibly become a grandmother or get noticed that she's going to become a grandmother this year, which will be lovely. I think Charity's finally ready. But she's doing well. I know a lot of people have been concerned that she's ill, and she was there for a time, even though she's not copping to it. But she was there for about a time, and she's coming back to herself. And I'm still waiting on Whitney. Whitney, I really think, is going to surprise us this year, probably late summer. She's looking absolutely wonderful, Whitney Houston. She's looking delicious. So
you don't mean she's going to come out. You just mean she's going to, like, regain her glory.
Yeah, I think she's going. Yeah, I don't think she's coming out. You know, I used to see Whitney at clubs. But
you heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
That was a long time ago. Whitney looks good, but you know, black doesn't crack. So
I know, unless you're on crack, and then that's a problem.
But she's one of the other ones that I think that we're still waiting on some wonderful surprises from.
And what do you think? What do you think is going on in the technology world? You're on a podcast. They seem to be now far more popular, and just all kinds of new technologies happening with it, obviously built around the strike that happened in Hollywood with television. Are we seeing technology being a big proponent in the next 6 months?
Oh, absolutely, because you know what I think is going to happen is that even though I respect and I supported the writers wherever they were at, gotta tell you, what happened was is people said, oh, okay, we can't get it there. We'll go elsewhere. And so you've got little mini independent production companies throughout the world putting their stuff out there. And the technology will become less expensive, and people will have more access to it. And, you know, I will make a far out there reaching prediction. Another 5 years, television could become completely obsolete as we know it.
Yeah.
As we know it, because one will not have to have one, period. You know, it'll be flat screen monitors, you know what I'm saying? And then you have to put whatever you want to on that flat screen. It'll be a wireless setup. It'll be however you want it to look. You know, you will be able to, everybody will be able to customize their television viewing as we, you know, as we look at it now. You have to turn a remote. You'll be able to program in everything you want. Sure, just come on. If you're not there, you can TiVo it. It will be just, it will be the closest thing we've got to Star Trek and a holodeck that we've ever seen.
So what does our summer look like? What kind of summer are we going to have as everybody's celebrating our gay pride?
You know, I think that it's going to be a beautiful summer for Gay Pride. I think that you're going to have a lot more people coming together on a more unified level. Sometimes, you know, in the gay community, we can get very comfortable, and I think we got a little bit complacent. And so while some of these tragedies are horrible, I think it's going to reignite the fire in our belly. I also think summer is going to be, we had a rough winter. got to tell you, I think summer is going to just hurt our feelings and our pocketbooks with electricity. And those places that don't typically have air conditioning, oh, you guys are going to so want it.
Which is much of Chicago. Many people don't have air conditioning in their
houses. I know, and you guys can get, you all have about 5-6 weeks that can really get rough there.
Hey, Cleo, I'm from the South. I have air conditioning. I just think it's Cro-Magnon not to have air conditioning. I don't even understand it. If it doesn't have central air, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, no, it's going to be required. I would love to sit up here and say everything's going to be roses, but you know, I don't do that. We have some tough elements hitting us through the first part of the summer. And that's going to be worldwide and different things going on. I mean, we're all still so traumatized by what's going on in China right now. And we've got the Olympics looming.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some really tough elements that, you know, I want people to understand that you just need to be aware, you need to be sensitive, and, you know, you try and focus the best way you know how. It's not about depression at this point in time. We can't allow it to take us like that because we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if you figure you're part of a small percentage, but right about now, we all should be able to hold each other up because we're all in the same boat and we've just got to ride this piece of the storm out.
So making it personal, what do you see for the podcast? What do you see for Amy?
I see for Amy just outstanding. I think that Amy is going to become a name across podcasts throughout. I think that the show goes even bigger because you have an amazing dynamic. You have an amazing energy. I'm loving the new format. I think that is so delicious. which broadens your base and it broadens your audience. And I love what you all do. I listen all the time. I was a fan of Windy City Media before Windy City Media even knew.
Well, we knew who you were, but you weren't in our posse, so to speak.
Yeah, so to speak, right?
Now you're in the family.
I feel like family. I pump you guys up all the time. I have nothing but absolute delicious love for you all. And I just to all of your listeners out there, so much love because I always get so much love back. And it's important, and you all have been so balanced with me that you are truly a blessing. My favorite spot in the world, trust me.
We love that. So let everybody know how they can find you, because obviously, Cleo, you are a spiritual person that can connect with any of our listeners, and you have that ability. Tell everybody your website and how they can get in touch with you.
You can contact us at wagwanentertainment.com, and that's spelled WAHGWAAN entertainment, all one word, .com. Or you can always reach me at justcleo, JUSCLEO, at yahoo.com, and I will respond to you personally.
There you go. We will have that website linked in our show notes. Cleo,
yes,
thank you for celebrating the 200 with us.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. I think that the 200th birthday of a show, too, is a number of security. So this is looking good for your mommy.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.